You know, you never know what God's going to do, you know? But he loves to surprise us. He loves to surprise us intently. Romans 8:1, let's speak it together. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. Now, he tells you, this is so important. He says, who do not walk according to the flesh. So if you walk according to the flesh, there's condemnation. But according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So this is a law. That means it's a command. How many of y'all know that God's commands are laws? How many know every one of his words and covenants is law? So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free. Why? To those who walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in his flesh. That the righteous requirement, everyone say requirement. What's the requirement? Cooperation. Amen. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, because it takes cooperation with the Spirit to walk in the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh or the physical. Yes. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The law of the Spirit. The law of the Spirit. Would you turn to Galatians 6:7? Everybody dance now. Whoa, yeah. Everybody there? Hallelujah. Galatians 6:7. It's right after 6:6. Let's speak it together, please. Do not be what? Say it again. Come on, say it again. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also what? That is a law of sowing and reaping. It's a God-given law to everything in this creation. Sowing and reaping. For he who sows to his flesh, hello, will of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. Now, sowing to the Spirit means sowing by breath, or sowing, speaking words, speaking God's word, you're sowing in the Spirit. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and what you sow is what you what? Reap. And let us not grow weary while doing good, while you're sowing in the Spirit. Don't grow weary. For in due season we shall reap if we do not what? If we don't lose heart. See, too many people give up because they didn't get what they want. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Sowing in the spirit, breath. Sowing in the flesh is corruption. Why? Because what do you reap? Corruption. Now let's go see what the flesh is. Galatians 5:19. What's the works of the flesh? So when you sow in the flesh, this means what, this is what you're doing. Is lying sowing in the flesh? You betcha. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and alike, of which I tell you beforehand, just as also I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's sowing in the flesh. Let's bring it another further. So, 1 Corinthians 6. These are called, that's works of the flesh. 6:8. 1 Corinthians 6:8. Remember, all of this is under the law of God. 1 Corinthians 6:8. Glory. Are we there? Let's speak it. Now you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, he tells us again. Neither what? Fornicator, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelries, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that wipes the whole Democratic Party out. Hello. Let's get real. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Wow. These are more works of the flesh. Corruption, reaping. Can you go to hell doing that? Yes. Those who practice it will not enter the kingdom of God. This opens the door to the devils to come steal, kill, and destroy. Why? Because it is the law of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 8. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Right before the Gospels. It's the book before the Gospels, Malachi. Chapter 3, verse 8, let's speak it. Will a man rob God? Well, you got to be an idiot if you're going to rob from God. Or if you think you're going to go away with it, amen? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and what? Offerings. Look how many people keep back money instead of giving it to the kingdom. When God only asks for 10%, when he can ask for 90. You are what? Cursed with a curse. I'd say, how can you be cursed with a curse? Is that sowing in the flesh? Yeah, so robbing from God is sowing in the flesh. See, people don't get this. And what does it do? It puts limitations on what God can release to you. And anything that he releases to you, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me on this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Malachi, sowing and reaping. Sowing in the flesh, you reap corruption. Now, there's something we have to understand, because there's so many ways that we sow in the flesh and don't realize it. That's why every night we should repent. Lord, I repent for anything that I've done that's sowed in the flesh today. Or if you know that you've done something. See, if I was to tell you I'm going to meet you at somewhere at a such and such a time, no matter what happened, if I am late, it brings a curse. Because the powers of darkness, the devil stands before God and accuses you for being a liar. We must be absolute on our word. He accuses you before God that you're a liar until you repent and it's covered. Lord, forgive me. I know I said I was going to be there and I didn't make it. I'm sorry. I repent. So we understand it. It's called an unfulfilled vow. How many marriages are broken and never repented for breaking those vows? And that curse keeps coming. See, the enemy uses all of these things to get to access. Anything that you said you were going to do and you didn't needs to be put under the blood. It brings a self-imposed curse. Amen? Same thing with tithes and offerings. It's not that God needs our money. It's that he wants to get money to you. He wants to bless you. Amen? See, he's got laws that bless us. These laws can curse us, too. They're called self-imposed curses. In Matthew 13, verse 36. Matthew 13, verse 36. Is lying works of the flesh. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. He said, out of his kingdom. And will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteousness will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ears to hear, let him hear. I love it. He doesn't say he who listens, because people nod their head and listen. But hearing means I'm going to take what you say and put it to work. I'm going to hear you, Lord, and do it. I'm going to put it to practice. Listening to an individual. Did you ever talk to someone that's just saying, yeah, and they're really not hearing? That's the difference. Goes in one ear and out the other. and the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He steals all the seeds. He still, look, at when after we, every time we finish a meeting or whatever, as soon as you leave this place, the enemy's going to try and steal anything of it, any part of it. Because he doesn't want you to have the fullness of the kingdom of God manifest in you. Everybody okay? Tares and weeds. The tares is associated with the flesh and the wicked one. The weed is associated with the spirit and the righteous. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17. Proverbs 11, 17. Yeah, I guess we might as well start at 16. Proverbs 11, 16. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. A gracious woman retains honor, but a ruthless man retain riches. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. Why? Because he's sowing in the flesh, isn't he? The wicked man does deceptive works, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Wow. Those who are of the perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. But the posterity of the righteous will be what? Delivered. Praise be to God. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Hosea 10, 12. The law of sowing and reaping. Did you ever not pay a debt back? Or, don't raise your hand. Everybody be lifting their hands and feet. We've all fallen short in paying our debts back. It's an unfulfilled vow. And you must bring those debts to the Lord and repent. Amen? School loans, I don't care what it is. You owe somebody money, whatever. Why? It brings a self-imposed curse. That's why it's so important that you, as you're doing teachings or whatever, that as the, in your prayer time sometimes, God will give you some of these things. He'll say, you didn't repent for this. You didn't repent for this. Now, there's an overall repentance, but there are certain things that God wants you to direct as you grow with him. He'll bring you to a place, and this is what's still hindering you. You need to remove this and repent and put it under the blood. Unfulfilled vows. Hallelujah. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Let's speak it together, please. Hallelujah. Though they bring up their children, Hosea 10, okay, I'm in 9, sorry, verse 12. Sow for yourselves righteousness and reap in mercy. How many of y'all need mercy? Mercy means, Lord, consider me. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Verse 13. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way in the multitude of your mighty men. See, this is where you and I can't trust in ourselves. We must trust in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hosea, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 9. Law of sowing and reaping. 2 Corinthians 9:9. Glory to God. Ooh, yeah. 2 Corinthians 9:9, but I like something different. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 9:6. Everybody there? But this I say, he who sows what? Sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity. For God loves a what? Cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for the food supply, multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberty, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Wow. For the administration of the service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he who sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. In other words, it's the level of how much you sow. James chapter 3, verse 13. James chapter 3, verse 13. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I'm not going to pass the bucket around here to collect or anything like that, you know. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Come now, you who say, oh, come on, guy. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Wow. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who what? Who make peace. Go to Matthew 25. Oh, yes, I will. Matthew 25, verse 1. Everybody there? Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. That means he's using this as an example of 10 virgins or 10 believers who are new creations in Christ. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Why didn't they take oil with them? Because they didn't buy any. And how do you buy it? Worship. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, amen, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." You cannot buy from someone. You must buy yourself. But the wise answered, saying, "Nope, lest there should not be enough for us and you. Go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to go buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said to them, "Surely I say to you, I do not know you." I don't know you. This is how important the presence of God is. This is how important it is to sow in the Spirit. God acknowledges the spirit, not the flesh. "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." I'm going to close at Genesis 26, verse 6. That's why the Father searches what? Those who are worshipers. Genesis 26:6. The law of sowing and reaping. I know we talk about this often, but I think we needed to have a full teaching on this, and I believe that the Spirit wants us to really know, especially what the enemy's trying to do right now. He's trying to prevent us to sow in the Spirit. He's trying to get us to constantly sow in the flesh. And again, when you make that, we're not perfect. When you sow in the flesh by mistake, you repent. Amen? You just repent. You know, "Lord, I said I was going to be somewhere and I didn't, and this and this and whatever." That's when your personal time, you repent. And then when you're sitting with the Lord, he usually brings it up to you. "You know, you didn't repent for this." "Oh, yeah, sorry. You said you were going to be there and you didn't. You said you were going to do this and you didn't." Why? There's life and death in the power of the tongue. Our words do not fall to the ground. The angels come and pick them up and work for you. The demons come pick them up and work against you. Verse 6, let's speak it. "So Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked about his wife, and he said, 'She is my sister,' for he was afraid to say, 'She is my wife,' because he thought lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah because of her beautiful to behold. Now it came to pass when he had been there a long time that at the Amalek king of the Philistines looked through the window and saw there with Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah, his wife. Then Amalek called Isaac and said, 'Quite obviously she is your wife. So how could you say she is my sister?' And then Isaac said to him, 'Because I said, lest I die on account of her.' And Amalek said, 'What is this you have done to us? One of the people might have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us or a curse.' So Amalek charged all of his people, saying, 'He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death.' Then Isaac sowed in the land." He did what? He sowed and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants, so that the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and he had filled them with earth. And Amalek said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." Why? Because all his possessions, he had so much wealth. You know, in the world, money is power. People fear people with money because of what they can do to them. And even the king there feared Isaac. Why? Because Isaac sowed and sowed and sowed and reaped. Remember, he offered up to the Lord. He built altars. He also dug wells that his father had done. And he became very prosperous. Why? Don't grow weary while doing good. Keep sowing. Amen? Keep sowing. Sowing in the Spirit. Keep praying. Keep speaking the word. Keep worshiping. Something's going to always happen. You can't go wrong with sowing in the Spirit. But you can definitely go wrong with sowing in the flesh. Remember, we labor unto the Lord, not unto ourselves. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I ask tonight, Lord, that your words, these seeds, will be protected into each and every one, that we be sensitive and discerning to know when we're sowing in the flesh or sowing in the Spirit. And we take this opportunity, Lord, and repent for every unfulfilled vow. Everything that we said we were going to do and didn't do. We repent. We put it under the blood. We break the curse off and command every associated spirit with unfulfilled vows to loosen, to leave us, and go to the pit in Jesus' name. And to God be all the glory. And everybody said amen.